Hi, ladies. To thrive in your body, our group session tonight with the amazing Brittany Castro. I'm super excited to have her on the call. All the past few sessions, we've been really talking about, like, what's really weighing us down, like, what's really getting in the way of us making ourselves and our health a priority. And finances is probably one of the main reasons why we're not going to the gym or buying healthy food. And I'm so excited to have her here with us and share all of her amazing tips. I've seen her talk a few times, and I've actually done so much of what she's suggested to do that's really made such a big impact on my life and my financial abundance. And I can't wait for her to be here with us and share with us tonight. So welcome, everybody. We're going to start with a little grounding meditation. It's Monday. It's pretty hot out west. I know it's a little chilly on the East Coast, so we'll just kind of find our center. So if you haven't already, find a comfortable seat, or if you need to lay down on the couch, lay down on the couch or your bed. And whenever you get there, just close your eyes. Just let go of the day and just really settle into this comfortable spot. And just bring one hand to the belly and one hand to the heart. And just notice, just pay attention for a moment to see how your body's feeling right now. Maybe there's some thoughts left over from the day. Maybe there's just the point of just feeling relaxed. Just notice how you feel. And let's all just take a deep, deep breath in through the nose, the deepest breath you've taken all day. Hold it at the top. Open your mouth. Sigh out the air. Let everything go. Another deep, deep breath in through the nose. Taking even more breath, more fresh air into your body. And then open your mouth, sigh the air out. Push it away. Let the day disappear. Another deep, deep breath in through the nose, the deepest breath you've been able to take all day long. And then open your mouth, exhale, sigh it out, let everything go. And just take a moment just to see how you're feeling now as you breathe in another fresh breath of air. Open your mouth. Exhale, push all the air away. Continue to breathe. And this time as you breathe in, we're going to just do a guided little meditation. And on your breath in, breathing in, I am peaceful. Letting this thought move through the body, every inch and every cell. And then open your mouth as you sigh the air out. Just settle into this thought. I am peaceful. Another deep breath in through the nose. Breathing in. I am healthy. Letting this thought move through the body. All the way down to the belly. And then as you breathe the air out, settle into being healthy. Another deep breath in through the nose, breathing in abundance. I am abundant. Breathing in how this feels, light, bright, joyful energy moving through the body. Feel that in your belly. Feel the warmth of that thought. And as you exhale, let go of all the air, everything, so you can settle into being peaceful, healthy, and abundant. And on your next breath in, breathe in your intention. How would you like to feel for our time together this evening? What would be needed to bring into your body to feel as good as you would like? And open your mouth, settle into this intention as you let the breath go. Coming into your body, coming into this present moment, really digging deep to live the life of your dream and to let go of whatever might just be getting in the way. It might be something super small. And just use the breath to truly believe that you can be whoever you want. You can feel however you want. It's your choice. And it all starts with you and your breath and making the choice to live a healthier, more vibrant, abundant lifestyle. And throughout our time together tonight, I really encourage you to continue to connect your belly and your heart with your hands. Really continue to breathe and settle in and just let go and be so present. You can keep your eyes closed this evening if that feels better. Whatever helps you really tune in, continue to breathe, continue to settle in. And we're going to welcome our amazing expert this evening, Brittany Castro. She is a finance expert for women and the founder and CEO of Financially Wise Women, an LA-based financial planning firm for women. She specializes in working with busy professional and entrepreneurial women who are passionate about life and would love to gain clarity around their money. Her mission is to help women plan and create the life of their dreams, free from anxiety about money. She's known for her innovative, non-judgmental, compassionate approach to financial planning. She's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Financial Planning Magazine, Investment News, Registered Rep Magazine. Away from the office, you can find Brittany working out, drinking green juice, reading, playing at the park with her dog, and, of course, dancing. She has these amazing videos that she shares with us, and she has Dance Off Fridays, and she's been such an amazing inspiration for me as a business owner and as a friend, and I just would like everyone to smile and welcome Brittany Castro to our call this evening.
Thanks, Katie. So excited to be here.
Thank you. We're so happy you're here with us. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you. So should I just dive in?
Dive right in. We're here with open ears.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, I just realized I got to do some more Dance Off Fridays. I kind of forgot about them for a while. I mean, I still do.
I love them.
I got to post them on Facebook. Oh, my gosh. So that was a great reminder. Well, hello, ladies. So happy you're on this call tonight. I think it's so cool that you're taking time out of your busy day, your busy schedule to, like, improve yourself, work on yourself, learn how to be healthy, how to be wise with your money all at the same time. So kudos to you, because I know that we all have very busy lives, but it's really these little steps, these calls that we're on, the workshops that we take, the class that we take, the people that we hire to help us that really make the difference. So I'm proud that you're on this call. So I thought, Katie, what I'd do today is just share some tips. Like, I know you were talking about some of the tips I've shared with you to help you manage your money a little bit more effectively, and then also tips to actually spend money wisely on healthy organic food and, you know, just our overall self-care every month. So what I thought I'd do is start just by kind of reviewing the basic rule for budgeting. Budgeting is one of those things that I think so many people struggle with, and we all feel as though we're the only ones who can't figure it out. But the reality is, like, 95% of Americans struggle with budgets. And I think it's just because we don't learn this stuff in school. We don't learn it, you know, at home. So by the time we're out in the workforce, it's just like things we feel like we should know, but we never got the education. So it's like, how really can you know? So one of the main principles I talk about, especially with financial planning for busy professional women, it's like set up systems and try to make it as automated as possible so you don't really think about these things on a regular basis, but it's getting done for you. So when I work with my financial planning clients, I have them follow the 50-20-30 rule to budgeting and managing their day-to-day finances. So this principle really just tells us that out of your net income every month, so net income is after-tax money, meaning your taxes have already been taken out, whatever you're receiving, whether it's from your job or from your business every month, 50% of that should be going toward fixed expenses. Fixed expenses would include things like your rent, your mortgage payment, car payment, insurance, utilities, you know, basic things that you need in order to survive, not things like travel or like dining out, but more like your basic necessities. So let's say, for example, you had $3,000 of net income every month. Well, following this rule, your fixed expenses shouldn't be more than $1,500 per month. So it's a good indicator as to whether or not you're spending too much on your housing costs every month or other things. Now, 20% is what the goal is to save toward the various financial goals you have. So looking at the example again, 20% of $3,000 would be $600. And this is what you would use toward, let's say, making additional debt payments to pay off your debts, building up your reserves or cash cushion accounts so that, you know, you have something to fall back on in case of an emergency, and then maybe investing for the long term, like for goals such as retirement. Now, depending on your, you know, specific life stage and the financial plan that you have, there will be, you know, maybe you'd add more toward retirement or more toward debt reduction. It just depends. But overall, 20% is the goal. So looking at your budget, you know, you can say, okay, am I saving enough, too much, too little? You know, how can I get to 20%? And then the last part, the 30% of your net income, is really what you have to use on what I call fun things, like variable expenses. So this is the money we have to spend on groceries, self-care, yoga classes, workshops, travel, entertainment, clothes, whatever you really enjoy most in life. Now, looking at this example, you might say, uh-oh, Brittany, I'm nowhere near saving 20% yet, you know, oh my God, it's a lot. And I realize that it is a lot, actually, and most Americans, we're not really a saving nation. On average, I think Americans save about 3 to 4%. But that's the goal. So I always tell clients, you know, we're all works in progress, right? So even if you can start with 1%, that's better than nothing. And then every year you increase. But out of this example, really then that 30% of $3,000, which is $900, is what you say, okay, I have $900 every month to spend on things that really should bring you the most joy and really should be in alignment with what you value most. So if you find that your money is falling through the cracks and you're spending money on bank fees or late charges or cable TV that's really unnecessary or spending too much on clothes that you really don't need, this would be an area that you look at and get real honest with yourself and say, okay, where is this money going? And is that really going toward the things that I say are most important to me? So I think following the 50-20-30 rule, first of all, to help you with your budgeting and really see where do you stand in relation to that, helps you get a better idea of your current situation, and then it helps you become aware of maybe the changes you want to make so that you can have more money to save and you can have more money to allocate toward things like healthy organic foods and yoga and Pilates classes. Now, sometimes, Katie, like if you did this example, you might find, you know, literally I cannot cut back anymore. Like there's just no more money. I've reduced as many fixed expenses as possible, and I'm still like breaking even or falling short every month. And this is where I'd say, okay, well, once you gain clarity on where you stand, how can we get creative with it? And I think women especially, we have this ability to be so creative. Just in business and life in general. And I'm a big believer in, you know, obviously cut back on unnecessary expenses, but also how can we find ways to make more money? Because there's no limit to how much money you can make. I mean, there's definitely a cap or a limit to how much you could cut back on, but there's no limit to income. And so I'm always the one saying, okay, get clear about how much money you need. Maybe if you did this calculation and you're bringing home $3,000 net income, but if you had $3,500 net income, you would be able to save a little bit more and also use more toward the things that you enjoy most. So then you might ask yourself, how can I actually create another $500 in net income every month? Is this something I could ask for in terms of like an increase in salary? Or if you're working for yourself, can you handle another, you know, few clients or get another work project to bring in that type of income? So this formula, this 50-20-30, is so versatile, and it can help you in so many ways, gain clarity where you are, see what you need to do, and then we can strategize to figure out how do we actually allocate this 30%. Does that make sense so far, Katie?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sure all the other women will have questions, but
they will, yeah.
Sure.
But no, that,
okay, cool.
Thanks.
Okay, so then once we do that, I think the another main tip I have is to strategize this 30%. So again, I've already mentioned this, you know, get clear about what's most important to you. For me, I'll use myself as an example. I'm a big believer in investing in myself, my health, and well-being now. And actually, from a financial standpoint, Katie, it really makes a lot of sense, too. Like, all you women on the line will probably know this. But, you know, in America, we spend so much money on health care. And in retirement years, it's expected that a couple age 65 and older is going to spend over $200,000 on health care in their retirement. That's a lot of money. And it's actually money that most people will not have in retirement. So it's a huge epidemic that we're facing. Prescription drugs, obesity rates, you know, depression, stress, anxiety, all of these factors really add up. And they can take a huge toll on you financially down the road. So I think, you know, looking at these numbers, looking at the statistics, okay, why don't I choose to invest in myself now to hopefully prevent some of those costs that might occur later in life? Now, nothing's guaranteed, but I think that if I take really good care of myself mentally, emotionally, physically, I'm going to put myself in a much better situation, not only financially, but in life in general. So I definitely spend my money on the things that are important to me, which would be buying healthy organic foods, going to yoga, taking exercise classes, doing my meditation and spiritual retreats, you know, staying just social, you know, connecting with my friends and family on a regular basis, because all of these things really add so much joy and happiness into my life. Now, in order to do that, in order to spend my money on those items, I've strategically cut back on other things. Like, I haven't had TV in 4 years. I don't have cable TV. I don't spend a lot of money on clothes. I don't spend a lot of money dining out and going out, you know, to the bars or something like that. And I also enjoy travel, so I spend my money on travel. So, you know, I've strategically reduced or eliminated expenses that don't add joy into my life so that I can spend on those things that do. So it can be done, and I think a lot of times people automatically default to saying it's too expensive to eat healthy, it's too expensive to go here or there or take that class or hire the professional or invest in, you know, improving myself through a retreat or workshop. But I think that's just an excuse, because I think if it's important to you, you will find a way and you will make it work with the numbers. So given that, you know, the 50-20-30 rule, on average, I've been doing financial planning now for going on 9 years. On average in California, especially like the greater Los Angeles area, I usually see that $50 to $75 per week per person in groceries and food is average. Now, for me, I'll just tell you, I spend a little bit more because I do buy organic. I do buy real, you know, I do my best to buy real whole foods. Like, I don't get any processed foods or packaged foods, but it's not costing me that much more. And I think probably, Katie, you talk about this a lot. The fact that I buy healthy whole foods that are good for me, they're more nutrient rich, which means I'm like satisfied a lot sooner than if I were to like go the cheap route and maybe eat, I haven't had fast food in like 5 years, but if I were to get fast food, and you know, because I want to be saving my money and maybe the meal will cost me $5, but it's not going to satisfy me on that like soul level, health level, and therefore it might cause me to reach for more and then buy more. So I think that, you know, I've come to learn my own body. I've come to learn that when I feed it and nourish it really good, yummy foods, it doesn't want as much. It doesn't crave as much. And that's been helpful because then I don't eat as much and I don't buy as much. So that's a good thing to keep in mind when you're buying healthy organic foods. Another tip I have, and I just taught a workshop about this, is when you do meal preparation, so like let's say you do your budget and you determine you have $75 to spend for you. If you have, you know, if you're shopping for more, maybe it's more. If there's two of you, $150. If there's four of you, maybe it's $400 a week. Whatever your budget is for groceries and food every week, pick one day a week and map out your meals. Map out what you need, review what you have in your pantry, go grocery shopping full. Don't make sure you eat before you go, and stick to your list. Know exactly what you're buying and what meals you're going to be prepping for the week. That way there's no unnecessary purchases. Now, especially if you're shopping for healthy organic foods for the first time, you know, even trying the farmer's market, there's so many good deals at the farmer's market these days. I usually go to a few different grocery stores, like two mainly, Trader Joe's and Whole Foods. Whole Foods is my primary, but there's certain things that I get at Trader Joe's that are just a lot more cost efficient, and Whole Foods doesn't have it. So when I do that, I usually go on Sundays, I get my groceries for the week, and then I spend like another 1 or 2 hours prepping my meals for the week. Now, again, a lot of us say we don't have time, I don't have time, it's so much work, but the reality is it's actually going to save you time if you do it this way, and it saves you a lot of money. So instead of, you know, thinking on a day-to-day basis, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to cook for dinner? It's already mapped out. You don't even have to think about it. And because you've done the meal prep and you made your list and made the food, you're saving so much more money. So you're not going to go and spend $20 on a lunch because you've cooked it and now it's only $5 because you made it at home. So with a little preparation, with a little proactiveness, you can really stretch your dollars. And again, maybe it's going to cost you another $5, $10, $15 per week to eat this way, but I think it's worth it because, again, if you can prevent some of these diseases, if you can prevent some of these emotional stresses down the road, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you invest in yourself, your well-being, and just take really good care of yourself? So that's a tip to buy organic, healthy foods. And then I think, like, the last main tip I really have, and unless, Katie, you want to ask me more, but the last main one I have is to really honor your relationship with your money. And this, to me, is part of your overall well-being and self-care. Because when you begin to see your money just like you see the relationship with your spouse or significant other, or maybe with your best friend, when you see it as a really important relationship in your life, you're going to want to spend time with your money. And you're going to want to acknowledge it, give it the attention and love it deserves. So begin to see your money as a really important relationship. 6 out of 10 decisions we make every day have to do with money. So it's really important. It's a lifelong relationship you have with it. It's really important you begin to treat money in a whole new way. And this, a lot of it starts with mindset. You know, how do you think about money? Are you constantly stressed out and worried? Are you avoiding your money? All of those emotional triggers, all of those thoughts really affect how your money is going to treat you for the long haul. So what I suggest, and I think, Katie, you implemented this idea right away, is I suggest that clients do weekly money dates. And this is just a time and day in their calendar where they sit down with their money. They sit down with their finances. They're updating their budget, reviewing their spending from the past week, making sure it's in alignment with what they said was important to them. They're forecasting the week ahead, you know, making sure they're aware of any abnormal or, you know, random expenses that they have to take care of. For example, like in my money dates, I always think like, okay, are there any like birthdays that I have to go to or like special events that it's going to be a little bit different and I might need more money for that so I can prepare and forecast. And then I also, in the money date, you review your accounts. You review where you stand against your goals. You know, you handle anything needing to be handled. You know, maybe you got random bills in the mail or maybe you need to, like, review your auto pays and make sure those are good or talk to your financial planner. Whatever it is, this time, this day in your calendar is where you really devote attention to your money. And clients who do this, really, it changes, I think, the relationship they have with their money forever because they begin to see it as it's not this, like, daunting, huge, scary thing, but rather it's just another part of your life. It needs some love and attention, and slowly, step by step, you improve the relationship you have with your money. So if you're not already doing weekly money dates, my call to action is definitely to pick a day and time that works best for you and do a recurring event in your calendar. For example, mine is Sunday evening, where you're going to have that money date. In the beginning, you know, you're creating a new habit, so it's going to need a lot of accountability. Maybe you have a buddy that you do this with, a financial. But what you'll find is that once you build the habit, once you do it for 21 days, you know, basically 3 weeks or 8 weeks, depending on which philosophy you follow, when you don't do it, it's going to feel weird. So I've been doing this, you know, pretty much since I got my first job, but I didn't really know this is what I was doing. But for me, it's really I do it consistently that it feels so weird if I ever did miss a week because I'm, like, super confused during the week. I don't really know where I stand with my money, and I just lack that clarity. And, you know, another thing that money dates really help you with is it frees up your mind to be more present in your everyday life. So most of us tend to get really stressed out and overwhelmed with finances, and so we tend to avoid it. We say, I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow. But what happens when you do that is it's still that little thought. It's still that little nagging thought in the back of your mind taking up space because you know you need to do something, but you're not doing it. So when you have the weekly money dates, you get things done, you have clarity so that you go into your week and you know where you stand. You're not worrying, you're not wondering, you're not questioning. You don't have to guess or, you know, feel like you're just scattered. You know. And then that way you're able to be so much more present in your work and your relationships because you're not having those nagging thoughts anymore. So the money dates are so cool. I love them. I think you should make them as fun as possible. You know, play some music, drink a glass of wine, green juice, whatever you need to do to make these enjoyable because that's the whole point. The financial journey that you're on needs to be enjoyed. You know, I think we all have this idea that when I have the $10,000 in the bank account, when I have my debts paid off, or when I financially independent, able to retire, then I'll be dot, 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 dot. But the reality is when you get to those destinations, guess what? There's another goal. There's something else you got to do. So the whole point is to enjoy the journey, enjoy where you are right now in your current financial life. Continue to make progress step by step, day by day, to improve it, enhance it, and have as much fun as possible because I don't know about you, but anytime things get so stressed or overwhelmed, I don't want to do it. It makes my life miserable. I suffer, and that's just not a good way to live. So I constantly am working on my relationship with my money, you know, making it more fun, more enjoyable, challenging myself, learning something new all the time. It never ends. So I've learned to embrace it, embrace the journey, embrace all these things that come along with it, and do my best. And I think at the end of the day, do your best. We're all here. We're all trying to figure out this financial landscape together. You're not alone. Don't ever feel like you're alone. We all share the same goals, concerns, challenges with our money. I think it's just that subject, though, that most people still don't talk about. So we all feel so alone. But the reality is, with little steps, you know, looking at the budget, following the 50-20-30 rule, planning out your meals, doing your money dates, these things are what make people financially successful. It's these little things that you do that you commit to day in and day out that will get you to the goals that you have for yourself. So overall, those are my tips to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, to honor your money, love your money, use it to live a healthy life where you buy food that you love, you feel good about yourself, your body, and continue to embrace the journey.
Thank you so much. I know I saw Brittany talk, it must be like 5 months ago, and I just remember this whole concept of the money dates, and I kind of took it a little bit further. I actually look at my money because I'm trying to have a very healthy relationship with my money, and I really I didn't realize I was avoiding it for so long. And then I've actually been looking at it. I've been spending, like, Sunday evenings really doing, like, what's really coming into the week and what's going out and kind of loving my money. But at the same time, I've been looking at it every day, too, because I was kind of avoiding not looking at my bank account. So now I'm just getting into the healthy habit of doing that, and that's helped me kind of transition as well into that more healthy relationship.
I love that.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit about abundance? I know that a lot of us, I get a lot of questions all the time about creating more abundance in our lives. Can you kind of share a little bit about that from, like, a financial expert?
Definitely. So, you know, abundance is such a mindset. One of my favorite books about money is The Science of Getting Rich. Have you read that one, Katie?
No, but you're the second person that's told me to read it, so I'm going to have to.
Well, it's really cool. This guy, Wallace Wattles, in 1900 or something, wrote this book, and it's called The Science of Getting Rich. But there's also, I have the deluxe version, which includes The Science of Being Great and also The Science of Being Well. So I think you would love it because it talks about health and also success. So in this book, you know, along with like The Millionaire Next Door or Secrets of the Millionaire, it's all about mindset and like this abundance mindset. It's like it's a state of consciousness. It's a wealth consciousness. So all of us at any time can choose to feel the abundance in our lives, or we can choose to feel the scarcity in our lives. Now, what happens is most people default to scarcity. We default to fear mode because, honestly, that's how a majority of society thinks. It's a very negative mindset, you know, and I think there's thought leaders all the time out there, and there's individuals like you and I who are constantly trying to improve our mindset to stay in the abundance and love frequency. But really when it comes to your money, you have to start thinking abundantly now, wherever you're at. If you're in debt, if you have no money in your bank account, you still have to find the abundance in your life, because the reality is there's more than enough money, and money is just a creation. Like, we create it. So it's not like there's a limit on how much money. It's not like the bank of the United States or the world. It's like, we only have this much money and we're going to give it to you. No, they can print more at any time. So there's never a limit to money. I think so much of us just block it because we're in this negative state of mind with it. So with our money, like little tips, I think, I don't know if I shared this at the workshop, but little tips is when you see money around, pick it up. So, like, if you're ever, it's really annoying to hang out with me because every day I find money, or every day I get something free. Like, just the other day, I find coins on the street, I pick it up, I say thank you. What an abundant world I live in. Because, and in terms of like an energetic point of view, there is no difference between a penny and $1 million. It's all money. Like, money energy is money energy. So you first have to start by acknowledging the abundance in your life, and that's just gratitude. It's like staying connected to what you have. I mean, so many of us like complain that we don't have a lot, and I do it too. I'm not immune. But the reality is we have so much. You know, if you have a roof over your head, if you have a bed, if you have some food to eat, you're doing better than most of the world. So we have to acknowledge the abundance we have, and we have to recognize that it's a daily thing. It's like a minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour choice to stay in this abundant mindset. So picking up the money that you might find. Another tip I have is every time you spend money, bless it on the way out. So for me, I just write like little hearts on my receipts when I use my debit card or credit card, because I just say, you know, there's more where that came from. I'm acknowledging my money. Or I'll say, like, thank you, money, for allowing me to spend it this way. That's not that I have to say it out loud. I just say it in my head. But it's just that check-in. Like, I appreciate the money I have. I have gratitude for it because that helps bring more money in. So it's just like into me and out of me. I'm not attached to it. I let it come, I let it go. It comes and it goes. So when you can really stay in that flow with your money and realize, you know, that it's like a current. It's we call it currency because it's like a current. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but the current keeps coming. It comes in and it comes out. And the more you can work on your mindset, the more capacity you can have to handle more and more money. So, like, the wealthy individuals, the most successful individuals, it wasn't like they were born with something extra that you and I don't have. They just worked in this mindset to create the life that they wanted, to create the amount of money that they wanted and increase their capacity. And a really, you know, good way to increase the capacity is to do the money dates. Honor your money. Have integrity with it. Show up. Manage it. You know, don't avoid it. Give it attention. It really wants that. And then you can stay in that, like, gratitude with it. Like, wow, you know, I'm doing good. I'm, like, improving little by little, making things work. So that abundance mindset is a choice, and it's one that we have to make daily and hourly and minute by minute sometimes.
Totally. How do you suggest, because a lot of what we've been talking about, Thrive in Your Body, is really letting go of the old stuff to kind of welcome in the new. How do you suggest, I know we all have money stories, so how do you kind of suggest letting go of the old so it's not part of your everyday story?
Yeah, you know, letting go of the old, I do a whole workshop on this, but one is just like identifying your story with money. So, you know, you can go through from your earliest memory to current present life, all the different experiences you've had with money, good or bad. And really you can just journal this out, you know. Growing up, my parents fought about money, or I didn't have money and I was embarrassed at school, or I got my first job and I remember opening my bank account and I was so excited. And you could really journal all of that out, and then you could see, like, what patterns are existing. Because all of the thoughts and beliefs we have about money come from somewhere. Most of them aren't from us. It's just what society has told us or what our parents showed us or told us when we grew up, you know, and their money behaviors. And so anytime you want to repattern your mind, it's not enough to simply say, well, I don't want to think about money in a negative way anymore. You can't just, like, eliminate a thought. You actually have to replace it. So if you've been operating under the mindset, like, I'm always broke, you might always say this, I'm broke, I don't have money, I'm always broke, why don't I have money? Well, if you keep saying that, you're just basically recreating the same situation over and over. So instead, why don't you say, you know what, that belief no longer serves me. I don't even know where I picked it up from. It might have been my parents because they really were broke and they were always stressed about money, but I don't want to have that anymore. It doesn't work for me. So instead, you might begin to tell yourself with positive affirmations like, I have a lot of money. I'm very wealthy. I'm very rich. I'm very rich. And it's going to sound weird. It's going to sound a little woo-woo in the beginning, but this is the kind of like thought pattern you need to recreate for yourself, because it's the only way you're going to change the direction you're moving in. So, you know, yes, there's tactical things that we need to do, like a budget and save and pay off debts, but there's also the mindset, which it factors in for a lot of our money behaviors and patterns.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, because I know that's like something that I've been talking with a lot of the ladies about, you know, creating abundance in their life in general to, you know, think of themselves as their number one priority and just kind of really letting go of things, but walking and stepping into a new way of being and a new thought process. So I will now open the floor for other questions. I just wanted, a few people had kind of emailed me because they couldn't be on the call tonight and wanted to kind of ask those questions. So does anyone else who's actually on the call tonight have some questions for the amazing Brittany? We're opening it up for questions now. I know it might not be the easiest thing to talk about, but I really, she's here and amazing and really kind of ready to take on anything that you might have for questions.
I have a question.
Okay.
So it's about like the 50-20-30. So the 20% was about savings and paying off debt or retirement. Is there, like, what would you suggest, like, splitting it evenly? Like, especially, you know, right now I'm in my 30s. I didn't really have a 401k until recently, so I don't have much of a retirement established. And I'm still paying off mostly school loans, so, like, that's my biggest challenge right now. Like, would you suggest paying stuff off more or doing it 50-50 and saving?
Yeah, you know, it really depends. It's, like, part of the work I do as a financial planner is to strategically help clients with that part of it. But rule of thumb is, you definitely want to build a cash cushion, typically of a few months' worth of your core expenses in cash before you, I believe, before you start investing. And the reason is Because if an emergency happens and if you don't have money in your savings account to help you, and you've been putting all your money in the 401k or been putting all your money toward making extra debt payments, well, there's not going to be any money to fall back on, so you're probably going to rely on debt, or maybe you'll have to pay a pool from your long-term investments to cover those expenses, and it just kind of puts you in this, like, catch-22. So I would say if you haven't, like, built your cash cushion and you still have some debts, you might put a majority of the 20% there and then slowly start the investing, knowing that in a few years you're going to be way more aggressive with it once some of these shorter-term goals are taken care of.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely, like I said, it's called personal finance for a reason because it's so personal, and as much as these, like, principles and rules of thumb are really good, it's so important to work with a professional to help you strategize even further, and, you know, that's something I do. So if you're interested, we can talk more. Any other questions?
Quiet group tonight. All right.
Yeah.
I have another question. Along the lines of kind of, you know, I know a lot of us still have student loans, even though when you were applying for student loans, I feel like forever ago, they're like, don't worry, once you're in your early 30s, it'll be paid off. and it doesn't seem to happen. What do you think about student loans? And do you think that paying them off and spending extra per month to pay them off is a better investment, or is it more kind of investing in your present health and wellness and kind of building on that?
Yeah, again, it's so hard to generalize because everyone's student loans are a little bit different. Like, some are private, some are federal. I mean, you definitely have to balance. In life in general, you want to definitely save for the future and work toward your financial goals, but also make sure you can sustain yourself and take care of yourself at the same time, because if you're squeezing out everything to pay down debt or build cash and you're really not taking good care of yourself, that's not good either. You know, it's a long, long-term journey. So, I mean, I would say, again, it's a little bit of everything. You probably are going to add a little bit more toward extra debt payments, and always start with the highest interest rate while paying the minimums on the rest. And if you go to my blog at financiallywisewomen.com, I have a lot of videos and posts about that, those strategies. And then you're probably going to put some money away toward building your cash cushion, and then you'll probably put some money away toward your long-term and goals, like investing for retirement. So I think, like, the first question, you know, it is like a combination. It just, depending on where you're at, what type of income you have, the amount of debt you have, the amount of savings you have, is going to determine, like, which one do you weigh more heavily toward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like I said, it's unfortunately not like a solid answer, like 30-30-30.
I know, that would be easier.
You know, I think it is, like I said earlier, though, it is really important to have that strong financial foundation, which consists of a cash cushion account and making extra debt payments to pay off your debts.
Awesome. Thank you. Any other questions? I know there's a bunch of you on the call. Not to single anyone out, but does anyone have any other questions? Well, Brittany, how can we find you?
So yay!
If someone had that were kind of like didn't want to share in front of everybody, how can everybody find you to kind of learn more about what you do and how you can kind of help them?
Yes, find me at financiallywisewomen.com. So on there, please subscribe to the list, and you'll get my free Financially Wise Toolkit, which is so cool. I have this dream worksheet in there that will help you define your short-term and long-term goals. I have, like, life stage checklists to help you understand what you should be focusing on based on where you're at in life. a money personality quiz and some other really valuable things, my ebook in there. And then also, if you go to financiallywisewomen.com, you can go to the Work With Me page and you can schedule your free 30-minute phone consultation with me. And then that way I can, like, talk to you more specifically around your goals, what you're struggling with, share with you my services like the financial planning or the online money class. And if, you know, if nothing else, it's a really good call. It's free. You're going to learn a lot. I'll be able to point you in the right direction, whether it's working with me or somewhere else, but at least you're taking that proactive step. Because, again, the people who get to be financially successful are those who hire professionals and devote time and money. So it doesn't hurt to schedule that discovery session. I have a lot happening in October, so if we can't meet next week, you know, probably in October. And I would love to just be able to connect with you and see how I could be a resource for you. So you can find all of that at financiallywisewomen.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I think you're going to be getting a lot of questions after
Yay.
The call tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. And please, yeah, fill out that form and ask me your questions because, like, again, this stuff is not easy. We didn't learn it in school, but you're not alone. And I, you know, Katie, I think you know this about me. Like, I really just want to help as much as possible. So whether I can do it or I direct you in the right direction, reach out because, honestly, it's once you begin to take the steps, it's a lot more enjoyable, and it's not as easy as it, you know. I mean, it's not as hard as it sometimes seems. So I'm here to help you in whatever form.
Yes, and she does. She's very easy to talk to, and everything that she shares really is accessible and helps a lot. So I really encourage all of you to reach out to her and, you know, if anything, just kind of start those money dates. I mean, those were a big thing that my husband and I actually started doing together. It really helped strengthen our relationship around money, too. So
awesome.
Thank you all so much
that.
For being here. Yeah, it's been amazing. So thank you. And really, thank you so much for your time tonight. Thank you, everyone, for being on our session together tonight. And I look forward to seeing all of you next week. And in the meantime, go find Brittany at Financially Wise Women. Have a wonderful rest of the evening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.